We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Two townies talking Wisconsin sports. Covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. The first weekend of the NCAA tournament complete, and both of our teams out before the round of 32. Marquette falling to Murray State, as we talked about, and will continue to. The Badgers falling to Oregon. Both teams out, both teams getting hammered. We'll talk about what happened in the future of those programs. Ben Wergel will join us to talk Badgers at 7:35. Ben Steele at 9:20 to talk Marquette. Freems, you were off Thursday and Friday, like a lot of guys do. They like to make sure they can watch every game in the most comfortable spot possible. Did you enjoy your 4 days of watching somewhat uneventful college basketball?
Oh, yeah. You're right. There weren't a lot of great games. Not a lot of upsets. The madness really wasn't there, except for a little bit yesterday. But, that's something I've been doing for forever, taking, the 4 days, well, the Thursday and Friday and then through the weekend and watching all the games. And, you know, it's like, but it's funny because I was hoping to get some sleep in and catch up on my sleep because we get up at such an ungodly hour. Man, I think I've turned into that guy who can't get up, who can't sleep past 8 o'clock in the morning anymore.
Oh,
I think in the last month or so, it's like on Saturdays and Sundays, like Thursday, I was up at 6:30 in the morning.
Why?
I don't get it. No, I don't know. I don't know. And I went to bed late and I'm up at 6:30, and then you're like dog tired the rest of the day. And the same thing on Friday, man, I'm up like 7 o'clock in the morning and I'm trying to go back to sleep. And it's like, man, because I want to, you want to catch up on your sleep and all that. And it's like, I think I've turned to that guy who can't sleep past 8 o'clock. And I've heard that happen before. Just never thought it'd happen to me. But man, and of course, this morning when it's time to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, it was hell to get out of bed, man. But those days off, I just couldn't sleep past 8 in the morning if I was lucky.
Good luck, because I think once you cross that line, there's no going back.
Oh, I never thought I'd be that guy either.
Like Saturday, I slept until I went to bed about 10:30 on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up Saturday at 10 in the morning.
And you feel great the rest of the day, right?
Felt great.
See, but if you wake up early, if you'd woke up at 7 or 8, you couldn't get back to sleep. And then it's like all day, you're just like, oh, man, I'm going to need a nap sometime today. And you're not going to I couldn't do it because I'm watching the games.
My condolences to you.
Yeah. Oh, God. So
that's rough.
But other than that, I love it, man, watching all these games nonstop. And I like the format they've had for the last like 10 years here, where they have it spread out on a Saturday and Sunday that first weekend, where there's one game after another, all the way until 10:30 at night last night.
Yeah, and I think on the weekends, I think I wish there were more games during the day. There's usually just the one at like 11 and then 1:30.
And I was thinking about that. I'm with you on that. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, man, there's a game at 11, and then there was like a 20-minute break, and there wasn't one till 2. But then by the time we got to last night, it was like there was sometimes three games going on at once.
Well, and then there was a game at 8:40 last night, our time, and that's when the Badgers would have played had they won.
Yeah.
I mean, that is probably a little too late. I did not stay up for the end of Oregon-UC Irvine.
I did. Remember, 2 years ago, they did play in that 8:40 game. I want to say it was the 8:40 game when Bronson Koenig hit the game-winning three-pointer.
Yeah.
I want to say. I think that was the late game on a Sunday night. But, yeah, I wish there were more games earlier. But, I mean, then when it got down to nighttime, it was like, oh, man, there's all – because Sunday night, there's usually, in my house at least, not much to watch. And it's like, oh, I got all these games to watch. So, I watched the beginning and end last night.
Well, I've told you that I'm not the world's biggest college basketball fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the sport is hurt by, you know, guys not having to stay more than 1 year. I think that's obvious. Like Zion Williamson, he should go to the pros. I'm not going to argue against that. But back 30 years ago, a guy like Zion Williamson stayed at Duke for 3 years at least, maybe four. And so it made the sport better because the talent was better. I watched some of these games, and it's guys bricking shots over and over. As soon as there's a 10-point lead, and I made this mistake over the weekend, every time that a team would go down 10, I'd put money on them because they're always like plus 800, but they never came back. Iowa almost did, but yeah. Most of these teams don't come back. I realize that I don't – it's almost in spite of college basketball why I like these 4 days. I like these 4 days because there's a lot of one thing going on at the same time. The sport itself, not the biggest fan. But because there's a lot of something consecutively,
sure,
that's why I get into the tournament.
A lot of stuff to bet on.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's always action. There's a game ending. There's a game starting. There's a game at halftime. There's a game. And these halftimes, by the way, there's my big complaint for the weekend. What are we doing with these 30-minute halftimes
for a
40-minute game?
Yeah, how come the NFL, a brutal sport like that, it's like 10 minutes, and they just get right back to it. But college basketball, it's like, man, they'll go to halftime. You could literally go out for a jog or a walk in your neighborhood, come back, and they'll still be in the studio talking about the first half. But, you know, as far as that live betting you're talking about, see, my strategy is, like, when a heavy favorite is trailing early, because then the money line, which starts off, like, at minus 1,000 to start the game, it's down to, like, 200. So then I buy in, like the Duke game yesterday. The Duke, Central Florida, that game opened up like minus 1,200, but then you're getting down 5 minutes to go, and it's down to $200-$300. And you're thinking, Duke's not going to lose to Central Florida. Almost did, but see, that's where I like to. I'll like to, and I've won. I got it several times. I got to a close game down the stretch where one of those top seeds were playing it close, and they found a way to win. There weren't a lot of upsets.
See, I would keep throwing five on like Gardner Webbs of the world because they would be up 15, and then they're still plus 800.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I mean, I'll throw $5 to win 40 here, and then I lose.
But see, then
and then that $5 and $10 that adds up, and then suddenly, you know, your credit card company's texting you to make sure that you're still on the up and up here.
Someone didn't use your card?
Right.
Yeah. Well, in the past, I think there were a lot more upsets. I mean, I feel like there was as few as upsets this weekend as ever.
Yeah, it's pretty top heavy.
There was there weren't many where the Gardner Webb, I think that was, they were playing Carolina.
Is that Gardner Webb almost beat Virginia.
Virginia.
Well,
that was
close at half.
Yes. Yeah, that was Friday. I think that was Friday afternoon. But Carolina was given a game by Iona on Friday.
A few of the one seeds were tested for a while, and then they went to halftime and then came out and won by, you know, 15-20.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's where you get the money line on those top seeds. You get them at a cheaper price.
I think what we talked about this a little bit on Friday, and in theory, it's, I think, what you want. Do you want a bunch of upsets right away, or do you want the big dogs to end up facing each other on the second weekend? And so, wherever you might have been disappointed this first weekend with no upsets, and it wasn't the fact that there weren't a lot of upsets, there just weren't a lot of close games.
Yeah.
Even like an Auburn, and who did Auburn play? Auburn played
Kansas.
Kansas.
Yeah.
You'd like that to be a little closer, but it just wasn't. But I think that means we should be rewarded this coming weekend as your ones and twos are still alive. A lot of your threes and fours are still alive. So wherever we were disappointed this last weekend, we should be in store for some good games this weekend.
And I think some of the potential Cinderella stories never happened. Cal Irvine last night getting beat. Buffalo getting blasted. I mean, Houston, I guess. They're a three seed, but they're a pretty good team. And I'm questioning what Calvin Sampson's doing down in Houston because I just don't trust that guy after, you know, his little deal at Indiana. But, you know, the Belmonts of the world and all that, they Liberty, you know, Liberty, you know, got beat yesterday by Virginia Tech. All those mid-majors, none of those mid-majors that had great seasons really now are making it to the next weekend.
Yeah, the teams that are still alive, 4-1, 3-2, 3-2, there's a 12 a one. Everybody is at least a five or higher except for Oregon, which is a 12.
But like Murray State, a 12 seed, and after they beat Marquette, just got crushed by Florida State.
Yeah, Florida State.
Just crushed. I mean, Florida State's still my team to go to the Final Four, but
7-point dog against Gonzaga.
But like you said, we got some, I mean, I think FSU can win that game outright, but
there shouldn't be a lot of brackets busted. I mean, unless you really took upsets. I took pretty much chalk, so I took Gonzaga, Duke, Virginia, and Houston.
And I think that's the way to go. That's probably the way to go this week. I know you're worried about it last week, but that was the way to go.
I was worried about. I took Virginia to win it all. I was very worried Friday afternoon.
Oh, see, then that was one I bought. See, I went the up. You took Gardner-Webb. I went Virginia when they were down 10. They were down like 16-6. I'm like, oh, this is not happening again.
Right.
And even the guys on the broadcast were saying, hey, you know what? There's no way Virginia, Barkley back in the studio, and the guys at the who are broadcasting the game are like, even Raftery was saying, Virginia is not going to get beat again.
414-799-1250. It's the number to reach us all morning long. You can tweet us, Facebook, at 1057 FM The Fan. The Wendy's email inbox is live at 1057FMTheFan.com. 799-1250. Tim is in Fredonia. You're on Loomis Road right now, bud.
Hi, Tim.
Yes, exactly. How do I sound? Like crap again, or is it okay?
We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Chuck. I appreciate it.
No. It always starts out good. I'm not saying your content's bad.
Yeah, you do always start out good, and then it fades.
Your content
very
is good. It's just you start off strong with a signal, and then by the end of it, it's just underwater.
Fades like a Walmart T-shirt, huh?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I like college basketball. I'm just going to give a couple quick points. I like college because they hustle for 40 minutes. I mean, those guys are laying it out there. As far as the halftime length, guys, it's 15 minutes unless.
It's longer than 15 minutes. It is longer than that.
As I say, I did.
At least in this tournament, it is.
Okay.
This isn't Bryant and Stratton playing the weekend. Millions of dollars funneled into the TV rights.
I feel like they're getting every commercial. Every one of those guys, the Phil commercials, they're getting in every 10 minutes. God, that guy.
I get it.
Who came up with that marketing campaign? That's what I want to know.
I get it.
Tell us about your days as a player. Well, I'm married now, guy.
Oh, God,
A good one, though.
I feel like the guy stole some of my lines, even.
Yeah, I feel like that, too.
I know. I was laughing my ass off. That was pretty funny, guys, that one. So, I don't normally listen to them. I just split to another channel real quick. But, guys, the Bucks. I mean, that magic shot from the Hornets last night. Now we're down to four. And did Tony Snell come back in that game? I thought he did after he
came back, but then he didn't play in the fourth quarter. And his ankle was very swollen, and he did not walk to the shower. He wheeled his chair into the shower.
Okay. So.
He wheeled his chair?
Yeah.
A wheelchair?
Well, his chair has wheels, and he, walked with the chair.
Oh, man.
Because he couldn't walk.
That's not a good sign.
He's probably shut down for the regular season, I would assume.
Absolutely. Well, you have to, because then you just win it. Well, you're down to four on the magic number now. You get to Houston tomorrow night. It's going to be easier said than done. But then I'm going on Thursday against the Clippers. You can get that one. And then just hope Toronto loses one in between. Then you're down to one. Then you shut everybody down, and you start Sterling Brown, for Christ's sake. I don't care at that point. You can start Bart Winkler, Chuck Freeman. I'll even do the intros for that game. Get those guys out there. I skip everybody down. Budenholzer could even suit up. I don't care. That team needs to be healthy come April 13th, because I think that's where they're going to play either the 13th or 14th on Saturday or Sunday. But that's my opinion. Go ahead and get it, and don't be jabbing around. Let's just get the number one seed, close it out, and rest everybody. Guys, gears this Friday? You said I didn't ask you last week, so. What do you got going on, Chuck?
Friday, I have an appointment I have to get to.
Oh, shock. That was Bart.
Yeah.
Go ahead, but I'm shocked.
I got a Brewer game Friday night.
Well, that's night. You got a pregame for the game, right?
All right. Well, Bart, are you in? I'm actually going to do it Friday. I'm going to get a little nap in before the game and all that, but yeah.
I could maybe do one beer.
Let's do a TBA. Let's address this one later in the week.
We will. You guys, no problem. Wednesday, Thursday, we'll frame this up and go from there. So, all right, gentlemen.
All right.
Have a good day. See you guys.
See you, Timmy. 799
12:50. And we'll talk more about that Bucks win. Two good, solid wins over the weekend at Fiserv Forum. We'll talk about that coming up as well. We will touch on the Badgers and Marquette, both of those teams losing by a sizable amount. We'll talk to Ben Wergel, 735, rather. Ben Steele, 920, for those of you setting your alarms for our really prestigious interviews that we do. But we'll talk more on the Badgers and Marquette and the weekend as a whole. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
The top seed Duke with a 77-76 lead. UCF inbounding on the side of the front court. Allen will trigger. Everybody in the building standing, all 18,000. Allen looking, gets it in up top to Taylor. 5 seconds, he's on the right wing. He drives inside, leans in, puts it up, no good. Tap back, no good by Dawkins. Duke rebounds, and the ball game is over. The Blue Devils escape. 77-66.
You know, Dawkins came flying in. I mean, when he tipped it, he turned on microseconds. And when that ball rolled around the rim, it looked like it was going in. You know, as Coach K talks about a lot with the basketball gods, they had our back tonight.
And Zion Williamson, after Duke narrowly slips by UCF, they had a couple good looks at it late. They had a dunk that they missed late. Duke somehow gets the victory there. And that game was being shown. I was covering the Bucks game yesterday. We were in the locker room, and we were waiting to talk to Giannis, Chuck and Winkler on Bart, that's Chuck. And Giannis was still in the locker room, and Pat Connaughton and Brooke Lopez and Tony Snell was sitting there, too, with his ankle. And the Duke game got on, and everybody started to, like, really get interested when they were reviewing a shot. Did it hit the rim or not?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then Giannis was, like, on his feet. I mean, you know, just a fan of the sport. Zion's making plays. Giannis he'd yell, "That's the number one pick." And they're talking about how big Taco is from UCF. And Giannis says, "I can't wait to dunk on him someday." And they were really getting into it. And then Duke wins at the end, and it went quiet in the Bucks locker room. And Brooke Lopez is like, "Man, why does it feel like we lost?"
You know what's funny? My house was the same way. It was like
America was the same way.
It was Central Florida got beat. And there was sadness, and then, you know, because Coach K was coaching against protege Johnny Dawkins, who failed at Stanford and was coaching at Central Florida, and his kid missed the tip-in, and K had some nice things to say about Johnny Dawkins, of course, after the game, and he felt bad for Taco Fall. I don't know if I've only seen him play one other time. I've heard a lot about him, the 7'6", and it's not like he's a 7'6" string bean like Manute Bol. He's a 7'6" rock. I mean, he's like Andre the Giant out there. He's big, he's strong, and he's agile for a guy 7'6". And when he's dunking the ball, he's literally looking down at the rim.
Right. He's a amazing. Big dude. He's a big dude.
And the game came down to the end. Zion, the greatest basketball player in college basketball, taking it right to Taco, laying it in, and Taco fouled him, drawing his fifth foul, so he's out of the game. And then Zion misses the free throw. Duke gets it back, lays it in, takes the lead. But, man, Central Florida had chances to pull off the upset of the tournament. Duke, everybody's favorite to win the tournament, Bart, and they almost got beat in the second round.
Well, not everybody. We did talk to Giannis after the game. Giannis actually took Gonzaga to win it all, and he explains why.
Why did I pick Gonzaga? I picked Gonzaga because I watched the game. I don't watch college basketball, but I watched a game early in the season that they played against Duke, and they beat Duke. They were grown-ass men, big bodies, playing physical, playing smart, so I like the team.
So you watched one college basketball game all year until the game yesterday against Duke. Okay. So you've seen Duke play twice, Gonzaga once, and then UCF once.
Yeah. All right, I can see that. Like a lot of people. The rest of America.
Yeah, Giannis is no different than you and I. We did not watch a lot of college basketball.
People are heartbroken yesterday over the Central Florida loss, yet nobody heard of Central Florida prior to yesterday.
I thought it would be very interesting if, after 2 years of them trying to be the national champions in football, if they would have wound up and messed around and won the whole thing in basketball. I think that would have been fun.
Yeah, I mean, a really good team. They didn't even win their conference. They did not win their conference. They play in the same conference, I want to say, as Houston. And they did not win They did not win their conference. I thought they finished second or third in their league. But, I mean, look at that. I mean, you got to – you're playing mid – well, that conference there, I think that's the American East, I want to say.
I think it's the American.
American.
American Athletic.
American Athletic, yeah, with Houston and Cincinnati. You know, that is it's somewhere between a mid-major and a high-major conference. And with Central Florida, I mean, a guy 7'6 could dominate that conference. I mean, just look at how many shots he could alter, and you put that guy right in the middle. Look, he was playing in a one-man zone. But really, he was the talk yesterday at Taco Fall.
Well, we got to watch that game yesterday. Didn't get to watch any of Marquette Saturday or Sunday. Didn't get to watch any of Wisconsin Saturday or Sunday because they both go down before the weekend. Marquette, as we know, losing to Murray State by 19. The Badgers then on Friday losing to Oregon by 18. And both fan bases, neither of them got the upper edge on the other one between Wisconsin and Marquette. And they can both commiserate with each other that they went to the first round of the NCAA tournament and just sort of flopped out there. Both came close for a little bit, and then the second half you saw Murray State pull away. The second half you saw Oregon pull away. And it's leaving both programs in a state of maybe flux. I mean, a lot of the phrase hot seat getting thrown around a lot. It's just, it was a disappointing outcome for both teams. Marquette especially, since they have not won an NCAA tournament game under Wojo. And then the Badgers, just to throw up a stinker like that as well, very disappointing. Both teams, Chuck, kind of in a little bit of a fork in the road maybe situation where they got to figure out what the next couple of years of these programs respectively are going to look like.
Well, at least with Marquette, there's a lot of promise for next year because assuming Marcus Howard doesn't make a bad decision and go to the NBA, sticks around for another year, they're going to have everybody back. So they should be pretty good. But to get embarrassed the way they did against Murray State, I just thought it was just an embarrassing performance. It was not. It showed really a lack of toughness in that game, which I was just surprised at. You know, they don't have a lot of rebounding. It was a very – and I don't throw that term around soft very much, but that was a soft performance by Marquette. A soft performance. Man, you have such a great season. And you were in the top 10. And then to fall off the map in the final two or three weeks of the season and to end your season with that type of performance against Murray State, all right, who they got the best player, Morant. Howard is good too, obviously. But still, you should have, you're not 25 points worse than that team. And to lose the way you did in that fashion, I just thought that was just one of the worst Marquette NCAA tournament losses ever. Of the worst.
Marquette probably would have gotten beat by Florida State.
Well, okay, but still, you would have given yourself a chance. You go into that game and you play them at least. But to lose what's the taste of the season is, you know, you blew a two-game lead in the Big East Big East conference standings with like four games to go, and then you get destroyed by Murray State. Murray State. You get destroyed by Murray State, who's a good mid-major team, no doubt about it, out of the Ohio Valley, and you just get taken to the woodshed by those guys. That was embarrassing.
414-799-1250, again, the number to call throughout the show. Rams on the north side. What's up, bud?
Hey, Ram.
Hey, what's going on, Chuck? What's going on, Bart?
How you doing?
Not good.
Uh-oh.
I'm a basketball guy. You know, like how you guys saw football and baseball. And, like, now I'm starting to see players that I've seen in AAU going back maybe 10, 12 years ago. Now, that you know, they're in college. So I have a strong interest in watching games. And, you know, I follow guys on to the next level. But, you know, you just mentioned something about Murray State. Now, that's a mid-major team that blew Marquette out the water. But, Bart, how can you be competitive when you can't even get the best players out of your area, out of the city of Milwaukee? Because, you know, those schools, they got to wait for everything to fall off the table, and then they get other things. Now, Jay Morant didn't want to go to South Carolina. He went to a school that wanted him. Okay, but he's a top five pick.
Yeah, right, top three, number two.
Right. And then when you look at UCF, I mean, they were right there at Duke. A couple, you know, turnovers, missed shots at the end. But Johnny Dawkins' son, oh, my God. The guy is 6'6", and got a six-shooter. Hey, Bart, I'll take him over Middleton right now. Right now. Right now.
Oh, that's a little much.
Yeah, I know you said it's a little much. We talking about shooting. I'm just saying, I saw a lot of shooters. He went Auburn and those other teams. But you got to have, man, you got to have four or five-star talent. Bottom line.
Yeah. Now, ain't no way taking Dawkins over Middleton right now.
Look, a lot of this is about recruiting. And I don't know why these guys don't stay here. Recruiting ain't my bag, all right? I don't know why Tyler Hero bolts at the last minute. I don't know why the city kids go play elsewhere. I don't know why. I see it happen a lot, but that's what I think most people, Chuck, are coming back to is that, well, why can't we recruit the guys in state? Could it be as simple as, hey, I grew up here. I want to get away. It's college. Could it be as simple as that? Or are there fundamental problems with the way Marquette and Wisconsin are viewed as programs in the state?
Jordan Poole, who went to King, who plays for Michigan, you'd love to have him at one of our schools. You mentioned Tyler Hero. Add Tyler Hero to Marquette, and where are they? Add him to Wisconsin, and they're probably still playing. I mean, there's some guys who've left. There's some guys who've left, but, I mean, still, Marquette is still a good team. But I don't know what the hell happened to them. And to be as soft as they were last Thursday, that's a head-scratcher. To see their season fall completely off the cliff like it did in the last 3 weeks, amazing. How that season just went right in the dumpster.
414-799-1250, more on the weekend as Marquette getting really pummeled and a very bad showing to the end of the season, and the Badgers really not showing up either. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. 414-799-1250. NCAA tournament, we're down to the Sweet 16, no sign of Marquette or Wisconsin, and a lot of people over the weekend talking recruiting. And Chuck, I'm going to be honest with you, as I like to be, when Ram called up and he directed a question at me, I felt like I was on trial. I don't know anything about the recruiting stuff. I'm not interested by it. All the way back to when I would play video games in college football, I would skip the recruiting stuff. I find the whole aspect of having to go into a kid's living room and get a recruit and how Greg Gard during the season has to go to games all over the state and watch kids, and he can't focus on his season because he's got to go watch these other kids. I find it an enormous amount of time that I think kind of sucks, and I don't know. I don't know why city kids don't stay and go to Marquette. I don't know why kids have been leaving the state of Wisconsin. I don't care if it's the academics. I don't know. Talking about recruiting and, well, here's the reason, and if we could just solve it. It's not for me, dude. I just want to be completely upfront about that.
Here's where I stand on this recruiting thing. I can't get overly, like a guy like Tyler Hero can get excited about, or an Ellenson. You know, the tippy-top guys in the country, the really blue chippers. But if Marquette goes up and gets a guy from Minnesota, all right, a three-star guy, in those rankings, you know, I mean, I can't really get too excited about that until he actually plays at a college game. All right? Marquette got the big man they wanted. They got this guy from, Montana or California or whatever. But until he actually plays a game and I see him in the system, It doesn't matter. And I learned this at Green Bay. When I was with UW Green Bay, Coach Kowalczyk there would recruit guys, and he'd be excited about guys. He's like, man, I love this guy. I can't wait to get him. And then he'd get him on campus, and the kid would start practicing with the team, and it'd be like, oh, I was spent 3 years recruiting this kid, and look it, he can't play. He's just not fitting in. I got to find a way to get him to transfer out. But that goes everywhere. So, yeah, the recruiting thing, you never know. And he taught me this 15 years ago. You never know until you actually get a kid on campus. You can watch all the high school games and go into the living room, Bart, and have that meeting with the parents. But until you get him practicing and playing games on the college level, who knows?
There's an article at 247sports.com. They do a lot of recruiting stuff. And for the upcoming class for the Big Ten, Wisconsin is listed last for the class coming in terms of recruit. And we had a tweet yesterday come to us and said, can somebody that covers Badger basketball, a media outlet, a writer, anyone, comment on the 2019 recruiting? Seems like a logical story and a concern, and it's being ignored. It's not being ignored because we're trying to cover it up. Who wants to talk about that? Do we want to talk about the 2019 basketball recruiting class for an hour? Well,
they do this down south. Down south, for football and basketball, they do it all the time. I mean, because that's, what are you going to do in Alabama? You got no professional sports teams, so you're talking, Mississippi, what are you talking about? What are you talking about in Kentucky, okay? Because all you do is talk about recruiting. I just heard there's an all-sports station in Alabama that's gone all Crimson Tide football, 24-7. If we had to talk about the Packers 24-7, throughout the season, we'd go crazy.
We would go crazy.
We would.
I would go crazy.
And I don't care if they won the Super Bowl every year.
LSU would go crazy.
Yes.
Mike Clemens would go crazy.
Exactly.
Bill might not go crazy, but most of us would go crazy.
If we had to talk about the Brewers 24-7. No. Bucks 24-7. No. Okay, when the time is right, yes, we're flooded with their talk, but man. And there's a station, an all-sports station, decided to go... Like last year, a station in Denver decided to go all Broncos, and I was out there. Last March before the Brewers played a playoff game. I was out there a year ago last March, and man, to hear them talk all Broncos in March, man, it was just like, God, let's talk about something else. It's the baseball season. They were talking all Broncos, and it got to be boring. No, so I'm glad we have a little variety here in the state.
Does the Alabama station talk Alabama basketball, or are they all football?
I might have been all football.
I mean, that's
but even if it's basketball,
brutal.
But if it's basketball, their basketball program is okay.
How long can you talk about Avery Johnson?
Yeah, and they're going to fire him unless they miss something. They might have done it already, but
yeah, he's out.
Yeah, but still, yeah, I would to talk, and they talk recruiting. They talk recruiting. You go down to Alabama to talk that Alabama-Auburn matchup all year long. It'd be like us talking about Wisconsin-Marquette all year.
Oh, my God. Ugh. I would go dig ditches.
Yeah. So I'm with you on the recruiting, but where I am on the recruiting, it's like I can't get excited about anybody until I actually see him play a college basketball game.
Let's see if Bill's a little different. He's out in West Bend. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Bill.
Hey guys. I just wanted to make a couple of quick points on the recruiting side of things. For, it's not just the city of Milwaukee. I mean, you got a kid from Middleton that played for Wofford. You got a kid like Halliburton playing at Iowa State. You know, these are kids Wisconsin and Marquette just aren't offering. Like, they're just not even offering scholarships. And so they're going other places and they're successful. But Wisconsin, to me, I mean, next year's class is one kid. So obviously, unless Wisconsin's not going to have top classes because they don't get four or five scholarships a year. They get one or two because they have kids playing for 4 years. But to me, the biggest downfall for the Badgers is if you look back to, to your point, Chuck, you look back to like the class that they had with Pritzel and Thomas and Van Vliet and, Ella Kanan and those guys, mm-hmm. None of them contribute.
Yep.
So if you've got guys who need to contribute over the course of their junior and senior years and they're not doing anything for you, you're going to have a pretty bad team. And so to me, it's that and pace of play. For recruiting, when people that hate Wisconsin hate their pace of play, look at Virginia. Tony Bennett runs the same style of offense.
Oh, I said that last week.
Very slow.
Yep.
They've got two top 50 recruits on their team.
Yeah.
They get kids. So it's not just the pace of play. It's got to be something else that's keeping kids from coming to Wisconsin.
And, when you're talking about a kid, and I think you're talking about Storm Murphy from Wofford, it's not like Wofford stole them away from Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, Big Ten schools. All right. It wasn't like that. He wasn't highly recruited by high majors. He's a mid-major kid. You know, sometimes those mid-major kids, Bart, they go to mid-majors and it turns out they're a late bloomer and you think, wow, why is this guy playing at mid-major? Morant. Why is that? I mean, after a while, you're thinking, boy, that guy could play anywhere in the country. What's he doing? But for some, you know, when they're coming out of high school, they might not be ready for high major, and mid-major is perfect. That's just a different type of athlete.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. More from you guys, 414-799-1250. While talking here, I think I found the Alabama station that's all Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a listen to some of it coming up, too. Oh. I think they are talking basketball today, though.
Okay, but still, if we were all Badgers all the time, and we're talking about the spring game coming up, that's what they're doing down there. They're probably excited for the spring game. And I see the Badgers getting together. You know, they're getting together again. They have spring practices. God, breaking that down 24-7. That would get old after 3 minutes.
Well, we'll talk to Ben Wergel, who does that, at 7:35 this morning.
Yeah, but we're not going to be, you know, hammering that for 15, 20 hours in a row.
And we'll talk to Ben Steele about Marquette at 9:20. More from you guys, 414-799-1250. We'll also touch on some of the Marcus Johnson stuff, some good stories he told yesterday. The Bucks with another good weekend, but now they got to try to figure out what to do over their next eight games as guys continue to go down with injuries. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. 105.7 FM, The Fan. Catch us on the AM at 12:50 and all over the radio.com app. So you were talking about an Alabama station that talks all Alabama. Like, it's a station in Alabama, and all they talk is about Alabama collegiately.
Yeah.
We listened to a few moments between the break, and they're talking. I'll just play a snippet of it here. They're talking basketball. They have an opening for the job. They're talking some Rick Pitino, and then they beautifully tie it into Alabama football at the end of this clip. This is Tide 102.9 FM down in Alabama.
Pick up on a recruiting trail and has the name.
Did you say Rick Pitino?
The players.
Did you say Rick Pitino? What?
Why not?
I love Buzz Williams. I don't know if you've ever seen that guy from Virginia Tech. I love the way he coaches and is that he's a personality. Like you talk about Alabama needing a personality, he's a personality. He's a guy I believe that would sell this program and would put some butts in the seats. And I think he worked well with the football program in terms of knowing where basketball fits. And being okay with that.
They're talking in Alabama about hiring a basketball coach, and the requirement is to tie it in with the football.
Yeah, program. Well, you got to bow down to Nick Saban, apparently.
Unbelievable.
Apparently there, you got to realize, okay, football, I'm going to be the second fiddle behind Nick Saban. So whatever I do, if I'm going to ask for anything, I got to ask Nick if I can have like a couple of extra practice balls. Is that what it is?
I guess so.
If Nick okays it, then I'm good. Then I'm good to go. I mean, okay, if you're talking about, I mean, that Alabama station, coaching hires.
Tide 102.9 AFM.
I think coaching hires are cool. I mean, going through the guys who you want to hire, and we've gone through them here. But after that, after they hire their coach, okay, then they're going to be talking about recruiting. And that gets, I mean, that you get bogged down in the weeds talking about that all day. That gets boring. Where a kid is going to go, and then he finally commits to Alabama over Auburn, and then before you know it, his junior year, he's sitting at the end of the bench, and they're begging for him to transfer.
Yeah, I don't know. The recruiting thing isn't for me, but you do have two programs. The bigger picture, Chuck, is you've got two programs that have failed in Marquette and Wisconsin, and you've got Coach Wojo, who has not still won a tournament game in his, what, it's been 5 years?
Yeah, he took over 2014-2015.
Which we would have never... I mean, you would have all bet against that.
Yeah.
Hey, Wojo's coming. How many tournament wins in 5 years? Over under a half.
Well, it would have been. It was this.
No one would have took the under on that.
As soon as he got hired by Marquette, which was like 5 years ago today, it was like right during the NCAA tournament, because Buzz left in the middle of the night. remember when Buzz left? And that's another guy who I just can't stand. Buzz Williams left Marquette, okay? And he was always talking about, I'll be here as long as they want me here. And then next thing you know, he's at Virginia Tech. So he leaves
now
Marquette.
Now they're talking about him down in Alabama.
He leaves Marquette. Oh, yeah, he leaves Marquette. And like 2 days later, he's on CBS as one of those panelists. And he's got a Virginia Tech pin on his suit. And it's like, man, the guy was just at Marquette. Can you give it a little bit of a breathing room before you start? You haven't coached one game at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
And I just there's just something phony about that. And, yeah, he's a guy I just never quite could figure out, and I just never could warm up to.
KJ West Dallas, Aloha 799-1250, what's up?
Although he won.
Aloha Freem.
Hey.
Aloha Ledge. First off, I want to acknowledge the outstanding job that Ryan Horvath did in your disappearance.
Wow.
My disappearance. It wasn't like, you know, I got lost in the woods and I was kidnapped.
Yeah, I know. You were kidnapped by NCAA.
Oh, yeah.
College basketball. Yeah. So, yeah, he did an outstanding job.
Hey, you know what I always say when someone fills in? I hope they do a good job, but not too good of a job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'll tell you, player.
I don't want him to do too good of a job.
Right.
So, okay.
Listen, with the Wisconsin and Marquette, both those programs, first of all, I don't think that either one of those teams should have been a fifth seed. They were more like somewhere between a 9 and 11 seed, in my opinion, just based on Marquette's end-of-the-year performances. I mean, they were struggling going into the tournament. You know, the Badgers were on a bit of a roll, but, you know, not good enough to be a fifth seed in the tournament. And we saw what happened to both those teams. A lot of it had to do with the coaching, in-game coaching, or lack thereof. You have to have the right type of schemes going in. And both of those coaches look ill-prepared. And you have to have in-game adjustments, your halftime adjustments. I mean, even in the timeouts, you got to be able to adjust. Like the coach, Johnny Dawkins, yesterday,
mm-hmm.
he did a wonderful job of in-game coaching and scheming for Duke to the point where they should have really won that game. I mean, he kept going different defenses, and he was playing the zone,
the one-man zone.
Once that guy missed that dunk, I think you knew Duke was going to win that game.
Yeah, because they had a chance to go by six there.
yeah.
Here's the one thing I agree. Here's where I agree with you on, you said Wisconsin and Marquette. Yeah, I mean, normally you look at them and they weren't your typical five seeds. But if you look at the teams who were six seed, seven seed, eighth seed, they were worse. Like Villanova, I don't know if you saw their game against Purdue, but they looked terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely awful.
Yeah, but that was more of an outlier.
Okay. Washington, a ninth seed, a conference champ, terrible. Got hammered by North Carolina. Awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah, I agree. You know, but I don't know how they're going to rebound coming next year, especially if they don't bring Howard back in Marquette's team scheme. I don't know what's going to happen with that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.